Nate, will you pray for us?
Dear Lord, thank you that we could all come together today. I just want to pray that we have a good service, that we can all have a good day. Praise with me. Amen.
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 All right, we will quickly review. Last week, if you remember, we were talking about faith for healing. Nate, how do we access God's promises? Through faith. Do you guys hear that? But man, he's really smart with that. Ephesians 2:8 tells us, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." In the Amplified, it says, "Not of yourselves, of your own doing, it came not through your own striving, but is the gift of God." It's very easy to find yourself in a place of striving, of trying every formula for healing, yet see no improvement. This causes frustration, not faith. And I self-confessed to you guys last week that that's what I was doing for a long time as I was seeking my healing a few years ago. The word saved in this verse is sozo, which is also part of soteria, which means to save, heal, preserve, recover, make well, restore, and rescue. Healing is a gift from God, not through our own striving, through anything we have done or haven't done. It cannot be earned. What do you say when you receive a gift? We say thank you. Okay, it isn't difficult to receive a gift. The word grace means that it is God's good pleasure to give to us. If we have preconceived ideas about God, it will affect how we approach Him and our ability to receive from Him. God is a good father, and he only has good things for you. If we don't understand this, we'll begin to think we have to do something to get healing from God, right? So for us to not to strive, we need to remember that God is a good father, and he only has good things for us. Okay? So keep that on the forefront of our minds. Now, the action of faith. Faith now is our response to what grace has provided. Imagine a closed door. On one side of the door was sickness, and healing was on the other side. The door is grace, and faith is the doorknob, right? So grace gives us the opportunity to receive it, and the faith is our action that we put to work by turning the doorknob. Faith is how we access everything grace has provided. That's just what the answer that Nate gave us. Remember the faith and grace road, right? You got a road with a ditch on your left side of the road and a ditch on your right side of the road, and you got to stay right in the middle to stay on the road. One ditch is to feel like we have to do certain things in order to receive our healing. If you think that way, you're going to end up in that ditch. On the other side is the grace camp where we feel we don't need to do anything because it's just grace and we're just waiting to make it happen, right? Well, grace is behind that closed door. We have to use faith to turn the knob to go get it. Okay, so that's that example. James 2:17 says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, it's dead or useless. Faith does not have corresponding action. If we are really in faith, we will act out of that faith. So if you're not acting out on that faith, you really don't have faith, is what that's saying. Faith without action is dead. It's not even faith. It might just be some kind of maybe in your mind. But if it's certain and it's concrete, you're like, yes, that is the doorknob I have to turn, you will turn that. If you're like, I don't know if I'm supposed to turn that doorknob to get that, maybe, that's not faith. Okay. Faith is a verb, it has action to it. If it isn't moving, speaking, or growing, faith probably isn't present. The Greek word for faith is pistis, which means faith, belief, trust, confidence. This confidence is not in our own ability, but in who God is. Remember, God is a good father. He wants to give us all the good things. Our faith is knowing and trusting that, and I will go through that door because he provided it for me, and I'm certain of it. Okay. And then we ended up talking about Abraham, right? And remember that promise, and he remember it was because he believed God and he acted on it, even though he messed up a few times. It took him a while before it became certain. And so, and then we talked about Abraham. He said he didn't consider his age or his wife's womb, right? He didn't consider those things. He only considered the promise of God. So those are the things we talked about last week. Okay, so we're going to talk about this time ways that Jesus healed. And number one, you need to remember you don't have a faith problem. Okay, we all have faith. Romans 12:3 is our first verse. Romans 12:3 says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Okay, each one a measure of faith. So we all have faith. And like Nate told us, faith is how we receive the promises of God that grace has provided. And we've all been dealt a measure of faith. Hebrews 11:1-2, we read that last week. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony." Okay? They obtained. They were able to grab hold of something. They obtained it, right? They obtained the promises of grace that grace has provided. I'm sorry. Promises of God that grace has provided. They obtained those things, and it was by faith is how they did that. Remember, we've all been given a measure of faith. And if you guys remember right, we were talking about unbelief at one point on Monday nights. And I asked the question, like, remember Peter, he walked on water but began to sink. Did he not have enough faith for that? And the answer is no, he had plenty of faith for that. He did walk on water. But what caused him not to walk on water anymore? Unbelief. What does it say? What did Jesus say to him? "Why did you doubt?" Right? The doubt erased the faith. Okay, and that's when he began to sink. So, what I'm pointing out is it's not a faith issue. We have faith. Okay, there's things that work against faith, but we have the faith. We've all been provided a measure of faith. Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." That tells us that we overcame by the blood of the Lamb. That's what Jesus has done, and the word of our testimony, what we're willing to say about what Jesus has done. Didn't we talk a few weeks ago about how important is the things we say? Like, how am I going to tell somebody about Jesus? I'm going to say it out loud with my words, and there's power in that. So that's how we overcome. Faith is the key ingredient in Jesus's healing ministry. It's always present somewhere. Matthew 9:28. Remember, we're talking about ways that Jesus healed. Matthew 9:28, "And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, 'Do you believe that I am able to do this?' They said to him, 'Yes, Lord.' Then he touched their eyes, saying, 'According to your faith, let it be done.'" So, how did they access the promises of God? What did Jesus tell them, Nate? Faith, right? "According to your faith, let it be done." That's how you're going to receive your sight. Faith and belief go hand in hand. Belief is the primary form of faith, just believing something is possible. He said, "Do you think I can do this?" And they said, "Yes, Lord." They believed he could. Unsaved people can receive healing because you are the carrier of faith and they are open. They believe something is possible. They're not fully persuaded in their heart, but they're not resistant. You see a lot of times there's unbelievers, but they know you believe, so they ask you, will you pray for me? Or they put it on their Facebook post like, hey, need some prayer warriors or something. Even though they don't fully believe, they know that there's people out there that could, and there's something in there that they believe it could happen. Ask yourself, is God big enough on the inside of me, in my heart, in my experience of Him, in my reality? Okay. Is God big enough on the inside of me, in my heart, in my experience of Him, in my reality? We're unable to receive what we're unable to believe. If you don't believe it, it's not going to happen. Be honest with your own heart. What can you believe for right now? If you can't believe for an instant healing, can you believe you'll get a little bit better every day? What is it that you believe that he can do? In his miracles, Jesus was not the one decided how much healing would happen or what the people would receive. That's why he asked the question. They determined, do you believe? He put the question before him. It's what's in your heart. Some of us are believing for less than God's best. He wants you free from sickness and disease and full of life and power and prosperity. We need to set our expectation higher than the circumstances. I was listening to a podcast. They were talking about prosperity and provisions, right? And the guy, just to use the example, he needed $10,000. I'm making up the numbers now because I can't really remember. So what he instructed us in the podcast to do, and what he does, is he prays for $20,000. I'll get the 10,000 that I need, and I'll be able to give on it and be a blessing to others. As well as my needs are provided. So he's praying for above what he needs, right? And this is what the same thing is saying. We need to set our expectation higher than the circumstances, right? So when I was praying for my healing, I should have just said, I want more than, I want perfect healing and everything. I'm not even praying about, my eyesight. I just want my spinal cord thing and all that stuff, but I should be praying for all of it. I want it all. I should set my expectations higher than what my current need is. So everybody confess, repeat after me, I am a good receiver. When I reach out to Jesus, I receive.
Reach out to Jesus, I receive.
I believe and I receive every good and perfect promise He has for me today.
I believe and I receive every perfect promise he has for me today.
Close enough. That was a long one. Should have cut that
See.
in half. Okay. Okay, so let's receive what you're believing. Here's some circumstances here. Okay. Matthew 8, verses 7 through 13. This is the centurion. Remember this story? And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. Not too many times Jesus marveled. It was usually marveled at the Gentiles, right? It's like, how are you grasping this? And my own people aren't grasping this. He marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you." What, as you have believed, what did he believe?
That one word from Jesus would heal
It
so many
don't,
times there.
it was only going to take Jesus having to say it, and he was going to be healed. That's what he believed. And that's what Jesus said. "And as you have believed, so let it be done for you." And a servant was healed that same hour. So in that same hour, Jesus said it, and it happened. So if you don't like what you're receiving right now, change what you're believing. Jesus doesn't decide what you believe. He'll give it to you, what you believe. But if you're not satisfied with it, believe something different. A baby is born complete with everything it needs to grow into a healthy, mature adult on the inside, right? Let's use Madden. It's his birthday. He was born a baby. Now he's three, right? But in that seed that created Madden was a full-grown man, the potential to be a grown man in the future, right? And he's still performing that, okay? So that's the picture that they're using. But we need to nurture, love, and teach the baby. You have a faith baby on the inside of you. You don't need to add anything to it, but you need to develop it. So just like children, we develop children until they become mature and adult. Right now, we have a measure of faith in us. We need to nurture that as well. Okay? It'll grow into full size. Philippians 3:10 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. The more you get to know someone, the more trust and confidence you can put in that person. The more you know God, the more you can trust him, right? The more you stay in the vine, right? Abide in him. Okay, stop thinking sick. This was the man by the pool of Bethesda. Was it Bethesda, the healing pool? Okay. John 5:6-9 says, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. Okay, side note. Does everyone have these verses in their Bible?
Yes.
Okay, because I guess some Bibles don't have these verses, and they're recommend you find a different translation if you don't have these verses in your Bible. Okay. Proverbs 13:12 tells us, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." When you've been waiting for something for a long time, your belief in God's promises can get squeezed by the pressure of the condition, just like the man by the pool. Remember we talked last week. It took 25 years for Abraham's promise to come through. That's a long time to wait. Okay. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. What does it say again? When you're waiting for something for a long time, your belief in God's promises can get squeezed by the pressure of the condition, just like the man by the pool. He's been there for a long time. What does it say? Jesus had already known he'd been in that condition a long time. All right. The minute you start believing God for something, you're going to have some adversaries coming against that belief. Okay, you might just be, if you're sick and you're hanging around sick people and they're talking sick all the time, that's going to be coming against you if you start believing that God can do this. Jesus asked them, "Do you want to be healed?" Because the man needed to give an answer. God doesn't ask questions just to get information. He knows the answers. He just asked to help us. Help us realize in our hearts, what is it that I want? It's difficult to think beyond the natural when you're surrounded by people who are thinking sick. Are you ready for your life to be radically changed? See God as your true source above any human system that's been supporting you. That man believed that if he could just get in the pool of water first, that's what it was going to take for his healing. But it wasn't that got him healed, right? It was Jesus coming up to him and saying, "Do you want to be healed?" And then he went on this long story about how he's a victim. I can't do it on my own, and I'm just a victim. I can't get there. I have people cut in line in front of me. You would think after all those years, they'd be like, "Hey, let's let him go first this time." But that's where he was putting his hope for healing at. Okay. And it never came. Not until Jesus came in his life. Victim mindset made this man more connected to his physical reality than what Jesus was offering. Jesus asked questions to provoke faith in the hearer. He's provoking faith in you today. When he said rise, the original word is a continuous commandment phrased to demand a response. Jesus said rise. So the man at that moment had to believe he could rise. He'd been in this condition for a long time, right? So Jesus said rise. He had to come to grips in his mind, like, either, Lord, I can't rise because I've been like this for a long time, or he believed, now I can rise because he said it. You know what I mean? There was some moment when his heart had to change. It might have been a split second, who knows? But he was commanded to rise by Jesus, and he had to come to grips that he could rise. And then in verse 14, what does it say for verse 14? Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." Okay. Jesus meets this man again later and warns him not to miss the mark again by going back to that way of thinking, or he'll end up back where he started. Okay, don't go back to victimhood, placing your trust in anything other than Jesus, right? It's don't go back, don't start being a victim again and thinking like that.
Danny,
Remain
where's that scripture at? The going back to the victim.
that's John 5:14. So we read 6 through 9, but then we jumped ahead to 14. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." So that was, them not going back to the way of thinking, or he'll end up back where he started. That was the Tertius's teaching on that. Okay, a blind Bartimaeus, we talked about him. A blind beggar received healing by the Abrahamic covenant, calling out to the Son of David. He put faith in the covenant relationship. Just to Mark 10, 46 through 52. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more. He even cried out louder. He wasn't going to stop. "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. He said, "Come," right? Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheers, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, remember that was his beggar's clothes, he said, "I don't need these anymore." He rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Just like he said to the other guy. The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received sight and followed Jesus on the road. He cast off his beggar clothes and moved towards Jesus even while he was still blind. He wasn't even healed yet, but casting off his clothes and coming to him, that was the faith. He knew that Jesus was going to heal him. He believed Jesus could heal him. So when he was called, he believed he was going to be healed. He's like, "Come on down. Price is right," right? They believed him. They come on running down like, "There's something good for me up here." And so that's what he did there. He cast off his beggar clothes and moved toward Jesus, even while he was still blind. He had to identify more with the healer, the son of David, than with himself as Bartimaeus, the blind beggar. He had to believe before he could see it. Faith will inspire you to move and propel you to action. Okay, so nowadays, like there's prayer cloths, and that still involves faith. Let me read to you Acts 19:11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So even Paul's clothes being sent to sick people healed them. Okay. So he says, we can't reason this one out, but we place our faith in the author and the source of healing, not in the object of the clothing. Right? There's still faith in this. God calling people to himself through Paul. Like, if you're an unbeliever and you got sent, hey, Paul, sent his handkerchief to you, and with it comes healing, and they get healed, that's going to bring them to God. Or bring them to Paul, which Paul would say, it's not me, it's God, right? They'll get instructed, but this is even in something like us prayer cloths. And I think, there's churches that still do this. They'll pray over blankets for babies, and they'll do that thing, and they believe in this, and they send them out. We know that when we lay hands on something or someone, there is a tangible transfer of power, a point of contact. Who is your point of contact? The woman with the issue of blood knew when she touched Jesus's clothes, she'd be healed, right? What did she believe for? She believed, if I only touch his clothes, I'll be healed. That's what she set her heart on. That's what she was believing for. So that's when she went and did it. The man with the withered arm knew that when he stretched out his arm, he'd be healed. That was their point of contact. He knew that. Jesus said, stretch out your arm. And he knew he could, just like that guy by the pool. It's like when he was told to rise, something had to come through. It's like he didn't say, I can't stretch out my arm. But Jesus said, stretch out your arm. He's like, okay. And he stretched out his arm, right? So there, that becomes faithful. I believe that what he says can make it happen. So when he says something, I'm going to do it. So their testimony was, when Hannah was healed, their daughter, Ashley and Carly believed that if they could get to a certain conference, that Hannah would be healed. They wanted to go see Andrew Womack at this conference, and if they could just get there, that's what was going to get Hannah healed. And in truth, and in hindsight, looking back, they realized they didn't have to go anywhere for Hannah to be healed, but that was the point of contact they would believe and receive. I had that when I went to Healing Is Here in 2024. If I go there, it's going to be good for me. I'm gonna be healed, right? And I went there and I said, Lord, I'll take everything you have for me, right? Looking back, I didn't need to do all that. I just needed to come to terms in my heart about what was possible and who could do it. You can choose to have a point of contact today. Decide that the moment you pray, or when we pray, you will receive healing. It's whatever you believe in. The woman with blood, in Mark's version of it, Jesus tells her, your faith has made you well, right? What did she believe for? If I touch him. So she put that faith into action. She went and touched him. And he says, it's your faith that made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. You have the faith of Jesus on the inside of you. We've all been given a measure of faith, right? If you've received Jesus, you have the power to receive everything you can believe for. That is our lesson today. Any questions on this word today? Does everybody understand it? Is it Jesus who decides how we're healed or what we can receive? It's us, guys. It's us. Okay. Do we believe that Jesus can? That's on the other side of the door, right? So how do we get there? We gotta believe it, and we have to act on it. I believe that healing's on the other side of that door. And by me acting on it, I can turn the doorknob. Okay? All of his promises are there. How do we even access those promises, Nate? Huh? Okay, good. I don't know if they could hear you on the screen. Okay. So, what is faith? Sure of what we, sure. I am sure of it.
I think Christy's getting
And I'm certain of it. We're going to replace Christy. We're getting this on our own now, finally. Maybe we
there.
won't have to rely on her.
I thought it was interesting, sorry to cut you off, is your version said evidence, I believe. Was being sure way helpful and evidence of similar to certainty, but and I was thinking of like, oh, what is evidence? It's like, in proof, right? And it's like evidence of what you do not see, but where's the evidence? It's the word, right?
It proof supporting the facts
Right.
kind of thing,
Yeah.
you know.
There's lots of cool different.
I don't think they always use the same version on the scriptures they write, but I mean, that's faith. I'm sure of it, and now I will act on it. If I'm sure, I think I used this. Remember, I used this a long time ago. Everybody kind of laughed. It's like, hey, your wife's down at the casino and she's eating seafood, and I'm like, no, because I know her so well, I am sure she's not at the casino. She hates the smell of smoke, so she will not be down there. And she's definitely not eating seafood because she hates seafood. And I am sure of it and certain of it because I know her so well, right? So I used that example a while back ago, but that is being sure and certain of something because of how well I know her. You know, and if we get to know how good our God is, you know, then we become sure and certain that he's not holding anything back. He's not trying to teach me any lessons by going through something, right? So I'm sure of that. And so I will act on this. Okay. I will go. If he says come, I will come. If he says stretch out my hand, I will, because I know he is the source of my healing, not that stupid pool that bubbles up once in a while. Okay. He's the source. So, and I'm sure of it. So, how do I access? How about I abide in him and then I hear him and do what he says? So, got a little preachy there for a minute, but
My question or something.
yeah.
So I think it was, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago when we shared with you guys about like our whole house situation and the lawsuit and everything. And you're basically like, what do you want to pray for? And like, and essentially it was, we just want to be like made whole through this whole process, right? And so, we've been praying about it since then, and probably like a month ago, we're still not making any traction on it. We're getting more invoices than solutions at that point, you know what I'm saying? And I was just so pissed, and I'm sitting on the couch with Allie, and I'm like, dude, at what point do we just cut our losses? And like, just I don't want to keep doing this anymore. Like, if they're, I don't want to keep fighting these guys, and it's getting expensive and all this different stuff. And she heard me out, so shout out to you. And she's like, no, I hear you. I hear you. We'll keep working on it. Remember, she's like, we prayed that we're gonna be made whole, right? Like, we believe that. And so, anyway, something gay, right? So let's keep going. And whatever. Anyway, it'll be great. But last week, Thursday, she called me and catch me up on this email and says, and this other consultant that we're utilizing, by the way, we got this new invoice that we're gonna have to pay. And I'm just like, man, I'm sick, dude. It's like one of those things. And then 2 hours later, I got a job offer that is gonna be like significantly helping us in this situation financially. It's not all about finances, but it's like, just as I was gonna continue to go back, and he's like, here's another invoice. I'm like, nope, we're gonna stay positive, whatever. And then it was like, boom. It was like instant healing. And so I just wanted to share that because she's the one that's been carrying me through and reminding them of those things. We're kind of supporting each other. But like when you're talking about you receive only as much as you believe, was it something like that? Yeah, it's like, I'm like, no, you're right. And it's not, I didn't have to see that job offer to be like to whatever, but it's like, no, remember what you might be have all these, thousands of dollars that you're spending, and you don't even know, because we don't even know what the solution is gonna be, right? But no, we're gonna be made whole through this. And I don't know what it looks like, and it's all good, And I felt like it was just like, just that God blessing me, just like a little reminder, like, no, I got you, dude. And
It's not going to solve everything. This is going to help you, but you stay here. You know what I'm saying? Like, Peter's walking on the water. He just said, fix your eyes on me, right? The second he started sinking was because he looked away. He was afraid of the storm, you know? So, anyways, I just want to share that. I felt like it was
Well,
relevant to.
that's a great story. And let's just relate that story into the healing that we're talking about, right? It said, when you start believing, things are going to come against you. You know, you think Satan wants you to be made whole? No, he's here to steal, kill, and destroy. So things will come against you when you start believing. But, right, just like you said, keep your mind on being sure of what you hope for, certain of what we do not see. We're sure we're going to be made whole. We're certain of it. And there's nothing that comes against us that's going to prosper against us. They might try to be throwing this stuff to get my mind off it, to make me worry about it. But we prayed for this and we're certain of it. God is on the other side of the door for me. And so just like healing, like, hey, I'm praying for healing. I'm, you know, how, when's it going to get here? How long is it going to take? You know, but oh, great. Now I got drop foot. Like that wasn't there before, but now I'm dealing with that too. It looks like I'm going the other way as healing. I'm getting worse, right? But no, I'm going to remain sure and hopeful. And just like Abraham, I'm not getting any younger, Lord. It's 24 years past when you told me that, right? But he stopped thinking about the things of why it couldn't happen, and he only thought about why it could happen. So those are our examples for us. And it was by, you remember it in the when we first started, it was by in Hebrews, being sure of what you hope for, certain of what you do not see, and by their testimony is what made them the great ones. By faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. They're able to tell you what God did for them because their faith remained solid. Right. And then remember, we're on Wednesdays, we're talking about crowns. There's crowns for those who remain in that place of believing all the way till the end. Okay. So you're going to get resistance in everything, whether it be healing, whatever you're praying for, there's going to be some resistance. The power is in your words. But guess what? When you say those words, Satan hears those words too. He's going to try to counteract them. But we serve a more powerful and better God than him who can do all things. So we don't have to be afraid of the resistance.
Well, I think that what you were just talking about too, Andy, is a good example of you were kind of starting to have that doubt, like, okay, at what point do we like just cut our losses and be like whatever? And but this job offer is like God reminding you, like, I'm still here, I'm still working on this, you know, and I'm just gonna remind you that I haven't left and I still have my hands on this.
Yeah, I mean, in a month ago, if I was like, if it was just me making the decision, like, I don't know, I might have just called and said, if you guys like, I'm done with this stuff, you know? And she's the neurotic one. She's the one that's the overthinker, the overstressor. She's a staff and looked at me. She's like, yeah, cool. No, we actually said we're going to be made whole, so shut up. And I was like, I do, you know? And so it's like, but that's it. That's what I'm saying. Like, we were together, I think. And that's, you know, we're seeing them. So, anyways, just want to share that.
What's the song we sang today? I'm gonna praise in the middle of the storm. Like you're in the middle of the storm right now. So are you gonna be afraid of the storm or are you just gonna stand there and praise him because of who he is and what he can do for you?
Well, and just
Great
thinking that
testimony.
the enemy could be absolutely using this to try to get in between your faith and get in between your marriage and get in between your relationship with your kid, whatever it may be, or the Lord's going to strengthen this tenfold by sticking together through it all, you know, and it's going to, and you know, maybe you get all your money back and you get a nice new house, and then also like spiritually, you guys are a billion times, and you know, whatever it may be, you're like 10 times in a better place than you ever thought for whatever reason. Like, Joseph tells his brother, what you meant for evil, God meant for good in my life, right? And it was, you know, it's kind of this thing that, like, as much as the enemy could cause it to go 100 miles an hour in one direction, God can make it go 100 miles.
And I'd say me and Casey, we've been through a few big storms in our lifetime. And what you realize is I can get through that storm. And here I am, and I'm not even thinking about that storm anymore. You know, that storm's passed. But he also says, you know, when the storms hit, remember the house built on in the sand and when the storms hit, there's going to be more storms that come, but you're going to be like, I'm not afraid of this storm anymore. I've already gotten through other storms. So it does strengthen you going through these things. You will be strengthened by these things that you go through, but react in the correct way. This is what the word's teaching us, how to react to these storms. You got anything, Grammy?
Storms aren't always easy.
No.
But I've lived through a lot of storms, and life is good.
Well, there you go. Testimony of Grammy right there.
Yeah, wow, Andy, that was, I was, am I loud?
It's because our TV volume was up from
Oh,
the.
I'm sorry. Your
No,
body jerked.
it's
I just was gonna say, Andy, that's an amazing testimony. I love that what you're saying. It's so good that your wife helped you get back because you were kind of like digging up your seed of faith that you had planted. You could have aborted the whole thing, but she said, wait a minute, wait a minute. Man, that's such a great testimony. So look out because more good things are coming your way. You have to, that one scripture says, what's it say? Like to open the cords of your curtains and get ready. Expand your territory because good things are going to be happening. But the thing that got me was stop thinking sick. And that I never thought of the guy by the pool of Bethesda as the example, but he definitely was thinking that for all those years. I think sometimes it's very difficult to stop thinking that you don't feel good or that you've got the symptom, but we have to stop it. Okay, so that's what I was thinking, that that was such a good example. And that goes to show it's our stinking thinking, as Andrew would say, that gets us stuck.
Yeah. And we're studying the topic of healing right now, but really it's just part of faith, right? So faith for your circumstances is no different than faith for healing. It's just faith stuff.
Yeah.
So
And I believe that transferring power, praying over something. I've heard so many testimonies of women that have prayed over cloths and put them in their husband's shoes and believed that they were going to get saved and they got saved. And when I was knitting scarves, the whole time I knit it for, I knew the person I was knitting it for. I was speaking over it, believing healing and prosperity and just everything. I believe that that's true still today.
yeah, we just we're not too familiar with it here in our background, but it's out there. People do it, so, and we saw in Acts where they did it as well.
It really resonated with me today, the like deciding, like making that decision that you're going to be healed or whatever you're praying for is going to be happen is going to happen. Like the, I don't know, when you were talking and you're talking about the guy stretching out his arm and it's like, yeah, you have to have that faith to, instead of just being like, well, I can't do it. Like, but I don't know, it just really resonated with me today. Like making that decision, like, yes, I can have this.
And you guys were praying to be made whole, but you're going to be made whole and you got a better job. You know what I mean? That sounds
Because she
like
already
the,
made that decision.
yeah.
Like she's already made the decision that they're going to be made whole.
Yeah.
Like that's already decided.
That sounds like an abundant life to me. Not just to get back what you have lost, but to gain back more.
And
So.
that's to bless others. You know what I mean? Like, and that all of this, yes, you'll be made whole, but then you're going to be have abundantly more than that, right? And use that to further the kingdom. Like that's why we're here.
What
I
about
found
you?
that scripture.
Okay.
The one for Andy and Allie, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. That's Isaiah 54:2. Make room for that blessing because it's happening right now.
Amen. Believe on that. Change your way of what you believe for. How about you, ladies on the road? Can you hear us? You got anything?
You did.
Okay, Emma.
I couldn't hear all of the comments. Andy, you need to call your mama immediately. No, I'm just kidding. But it was all so good, so encouraging. Thank you very much. Loved it. Loved hearing all of this. And I kind of everything you were talking about, I could see, you know, and we it does take us to turn that knob in faith, you know, to do whatever we have to do. Personally, like I was kind of scared to do this trip with Carolyn, and one of the things that worried me the most was keeping the cats okay. And you know, as I'm out here doing this, each mile, you know, I'm feeling more and more confident, more and more less scared, even though I do kind of like go, oh my gosh, we got to do this tomorrow, you know, and then I know that I'm just trusting God. He's with us. And even the things that have happened, we know it could have been much worse.
Yes.
You know, we know God is with us, but it does take faith to do what you feel like you've been called to do. And then, you know, we're going to get, you know, me, I'm going to be stronger now. I'm not such a scaredy cat all the time, I hope, you know, but anyway, it's been good.
Yes, and God has taken care of the cats and
Oh, that's
left
what I was
us
going to say.
peace and joy. The cats have been free, no drugs.
They, no drugs, and they haven't made a peep. You know, so they're probably scared, but it's working. We're doing it. We're almost done. We're on the last leg. Tonight, when we spend the night, there's only going to be like 7 more hours to go. So, like, we're counting down.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Pass the
Praise
peace.
the Lord for keeping you gals safe.
That's just trying to, yeah.
Get on the plane, drive in there, shut it.
Yeah. Great teaching. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Michael, will you pray us out of here?
Yep, food.
What a good day today.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to get together and hear your word. Thank you for what you're bringing through Dan. With all of this, we just give you praise, Lord, for everything that you're doing within everybody's lives and all the wonderful testimony that we can see happening right in front of our eyes, Lord. We know that that too is part of the evidence, not only just in your word, but what we experience in our lives, Lord. We just pray that all of this will rest on our hearts and that we can continue to use it in our everyday life, just trusting in you, and pray that you just bless the rest of everyone's day. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.